Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
So today we're with Dr. Alex Connor, who is a senior lecturer in medical sciences here at the University of Birmingham. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you do here at the university?
Yeah, sure. So I'm slightly unusual in that I have something of a portfolio career here. I'm a senior lecturer in medical sciences, which means I teach general medical sciences to lots of students. I'm also a professional trainer and facilitator of non-academic courses and also facilitating conferences. And I run a small research group looking at protein structure and function.
Fantastic. So how do those things all intertwine? Right? How does doing this, having this other aspect to academia, influence your research?
With busyness, but they have an added value. Each influences the other. I think I'm a teaching-led researcher, so they definitely help each other. When I'm teaching courses in academia, that can influence how I teach. Training courses and the skills used in that directly influence how you do other teaching. And the research is influenced by the teaching, of course, as well. They're on the same sort of area.
Tell us a little bit about the research that you do here. What's that in?
So I study protein structure and function. Proteins are tiny, tiny molecules inside human cells and all cells, and they pretty much run everything we do. I'm interested in the ones that are outside of the cell, going through the membrane, that transmit signals from outside to inside the cell and vice versa. A little bit like your hand turning on a light switch and then something happens. I'm interested in what it is that happens, what it looks like, and how we can use that for therapies in the future.
What specific therapies? Are there any specific things that the cells you're researching will help?
Yeah, one example is the protein aquaporin 4. This is found in the brain, specifically in astrocytes, which means star cells. And this allows water to come in and out of the brain. Normally, we have to regulate the size of the cells. And one way we do that is through the swelling of them through water. And aquaporins are literally a water hole that lets water come in and out. And sometimes that goes wrong. For example, when you get a bang on the head, sadly like Michael Schumacher currently is experiencing, or if you have a stroke, you can get brain swelling. And this is thought to be through aquaporin 4, as water comes into the brain from the bloodstream, swells up the brain, and causes brain damage and even death.
How do these proteins react when we say we have a brain injury?
That's a very good question. So these, think of them as like doors of the cells, and water can come through the door. What we're interested in is what shape this door is, whether we can remove the doors, so these aquaporins go inside the cell sometimes, and we regulate that, or we try and understand ways to regulate that with new drugs or new cell signaling behaviour that can regulate the number of doors available. Also, we'll try and block up the doors with new inhibitors, which a lot of drugs are. And then even if you have a stroke or a traumatic brain injury, maybe we can stop the water being able to get through those doors, get through those aquaporins, and block some of this brain swelling. And then hopefully block some of the dangerous effects of the swelling.
So it's kind of staggering the speed at which these proteins move.
Actually blocking it completely, reducing the ability of the water, because it takes hours for the brain swelling to happen clinically if you have one of these problems. And if we can just stop that happening, we've got more time to stop the brain swelling and get to the site of injury.
So would this only be if any injuries that aren't, say, a direct impact to the head?
Yeah, absolutely. For example, if you have a stroke, this can be a slight ischemic response, which means not very much oxygen to a certain part of the blood vessels in the brain. And this stops the energetic processes working in the brain and therefore stops, causes water to come in through aquaporin 4 and cause exactly the same brain swelling that we see in traumatic brain injury. We also get edemas elsewhere, pulmonary edemas, kidney problems, cellular edemas, and anywhere where water has to move in large amounts, they move through one of the aquaporins. There's 13 in humans, 13 different types, and they all seem to be regulated. And we're studying all of those regulations to see if there are potential therapeutics in the future there.
How would we be able to regulate these aquaporin?
This is exactly what my research group is working on right now up in the lab in the medical school. We've shown that, for example, having calcium outside the cell is essential for these aquaporins moving about very quickly within seconds. We've shown that other proteins called kinases, these are enzymes which add bits onto the aquaporin 4, these are necessary to move the aquaporin out into the surface. So if we can target those instead of the aquaporin directly, or if we can block the calcium interaction, then we might be able to regulate the movement. Similarly, the aquaporin 4 has a hole. It is a water hole. That if we can block this hole with something that isn't toxic to our bodies, then this might simply block the water movement in forming edema. So we're approaching this from two angles. One is, what's the shape of aquaporin and can we block that? One is, how is aquaporin regulated by other parties, other partners, and can we block them or interrupt them or somehow affect them to stop this happening or to promote it happening, but somewhere else in the cell? So that's what we do in our group.
So this isn't the only protein you're working on in your research group, is it?
That's right. I'm lucky enough to have received a grant from the British Heart Foundation, so those red shops in the high street, and they've funded us to look at another membrane protein, kind of similar to aquaporins, but these are thought to be involved in heart disease. They're thought to be protective for heart disease. And our job is to try and spot a drug binding pocket at the surface of the cell that will allow medicinal chemists or the pharmaceutical industry to take this forward in the future and create drugs that might help with heart disease.
And what's next on the horizon? What's the next big discovery with these cells?
A lot of people are chasing aquaporin 4 as a treatment for stroke, edema and traumatic brain injury. I've got together with more than 20 scientists, industrial people and clinicians around Europe to create Cerebroporin. This is a group applying for Horizon 2020 money to see if we can take aquaporin 4 research from bench to bedside, really trying to help understand whether aquaporin can be used as a therapy for brain edema. We're applying for €3.5 million to recruit 15 early-stage researchers to create a network-wide community of future leaders in science to help understand this problem.
Well, all the best for all your funding applications and research. Dr. Alex Connor, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us today.
Thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists.